Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
The Association of Irish Local Government, who represent local elected representatives, have expressed concern over the harassment of up to 70 female councillors who've been receiving phone calls from an individual saying disturbing and inappropriate sexual comments. Fine Gael councillor Mary Howard from County Clare County Council joins me now. Mary, are you with us?
I am. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon to you, Mary. Tell us, what are these calls like? You've been victim to some of them, have you?
I have. 10 days ago, last Tuesday week, I was here potting around. It was, the weather was really hot and lovely, so I decided I better do some watering. So I was watering plants in the garden with the watering can, and I came into the kitchen and the phone was ringing, and it was an unknown number. Now, funny enough, I normally wouldn't answer them, but earlier on in the week, I actually had answered two, and they're from elderly constituents who had their numbers removed or hidden by their family members, and they had genuine issues.
Okay.
So it was about 8 o'clock or so. So I didn't, you know, I didn't think there was anything untoward. So I answered the phone, and this gentleman asked me, was this Mary Howard? And I said, yes, it was. And was I a county councillor in Clare County Council? And I said, yes, I was. And then he proceeded, I don't want to give the whole conversation, you know, more air power, but
yeah,
it was very disturbing. And he wanted to be challenged. So I eventually stopped the call. I just couldn't listen to this anymore. And the phone continued to ring for the next, you know, I was in and out filling the watering can. But I actually felt very vulnerable, because it occurred to me, I said, is he across the road? Is he watching me? Where is this guy? Who is he? Thought no more about it, came in, locked up. And it was later on that evening when I went on social media that I realised, actually, it was Anna Granger in Dublin had a post up on her Facebook about unknown calls and blocked numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I texted her and I said, Anna, I had a really, really disturbing call earlier on this evening. Persis continues to try and call me, you know, but, and she said, oh, that happened to me too. And then she directed me to our WhatsApp group for Fine Gael members.
Okay.
And that's when I realised that there was quite a few of us being targeted. There's about 20 of us at the time. Now, I met that kind of information with some relief, thinking I am not the only person, but also with anger, thinking, who on earth is this horrible individual? So throughout the night, up until almost 2 o'clock in the morning, a number of us were in touch with each other. And what I was really kind of, I didn't sleep that night, because I kept thinking about some of our newer colleagues who are only elected 2 years or so, and they have young children. I don't have young children.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody had told me that they had in excess of 250 images of young girls, your instinct is to say, has he got pictures of my daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it was really, you know, we get phone calls all the time. We get prank calls. We get people that are stressed, that, you know, are not happy about a government decision or a policy that we're trying to get through. But this was a bridge too far in my book.
Mary, you said we won't go into the details of what he said. But first of all, you're not expecting this, so you're sidelined by it. You know, we all have great ideas of what to say afterwards. But I'm sure in the first instance, you're completely shocked. And as you say, you start thinking, are they looking at me? Are they across the road? Are they outside my house?
Yeah. And that was the way everybody that I spoke to that night, after we realised there was a number of us, all felt incredibly vulnerable. And we shouldn't, you know, we're doing the best that we can. You know, if you get a call at night like that, it's somebody with an issue that they want addressed, whether it is a streetlight not working, whether it's a pothole, whether it's a family member who needs housing, you know, or that's what we deal with every day. And that's how we do our business, is that we, you know, and we answer the phone to everybody. And that's so important to what we do. But it just, you don't anticipate, you don't expect to get a call like this. As I said, I'm 17 years in the job. I'm resilient. I have a tough skin. But you don't expect to hear something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same when we kind of checked in with each other. It was the same conversation he had with all of us.
Okay.
And a couple of the counsellors, their husbands were with them, our partners, and they recorded the call on another phone. Like, it just, like, obviously this person needs help.
Yeah.
And I'm not the person to give them the help, but it just, you know, the fact that it was focused on women.
Focused on women, isn't it?
Yes.
And their persistent harassing telephone calls is what we've heard increased over the past few days and weeks. No reports of any male counsellors receiving similar calls, inappropriate sexual comments and disturbing narrative.
Yes.
Would that be fair?
Absolutely. That'd be very fair. It's only going on 10 days. It was last Tuesday and Wednesday, I think, the bulk of us got our calls. Then it stopped, from what I can make out. And then Saturday morning, again, from early Saturday morning, the call started to Fine Gael counsellors. And then from what I understand is that then this week, other counsellors were starting to get the calls. Now, the one thing that I want, I suppose, the public, potentially counsellors listening to this, not every unknown or blocked or number that you cannot see is this individual.
Of course.
Because you do have a lot of people that have their numbers taken down just for their own security. So, and then we get an awful lot, you know, spam calls at the moment. They're coming in from all sorts of directions.
Of course. Mary, just stay with us on the line. I'm going to bring in some other councillors just to get their experience and their take on it as well, if that's okay. But do stay with us. Fianna Fáil councillor from Artane Whitehall, Leah Rachel Batten is on the line. Rachel, are you with us?
I am. How are you?
Hi, Rachel. Tell us your experience.
Well, very similar to Mary, I suppose. It started for me on Thursday evening and persisted all until Sunday when I took the decision to block the private numbers. Now, look, like Mary said, it's very difficult because there is legitimate people calling you. But just the content, look, from a, I'm similar to Mary, like I'm a single mother with two young children and living in the house on my own. It was kind of one of those things. Unfortunately, there was a data breach about 2 years ago on Dublin City Councillors. So my address is publicly available. I was genuinely scared and kind of worried about, in some ways, I wasn't aware at the start that this was consistent across other councillors. And it has been something that I've experienced in the past, where I suppose there was an individual who very much did know exactly where I lived. And I suppose you are, like, it's not something that you want local female politicians to be afraid of going into. Like, I'm sure you'll get comments of like, oh, if they can't handle it, they shouldn't do the job. But this isn't a standard within any employment that is acceptable. And, you know, for 2 or 3 days, I was very upset about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm genuinely worried about my children, kind of, you know, I'm on my own. Is there somebody at the house? Like, you know, double checking the locks a particular night, the phone rang 15 times, you know, I was turning on the alarm. Like, that's not normal behaviour. And I don't think it's an overreaction because you just don't know.
Oh, no, I don't think. And on the contrary, Rachel, what people are saying here is this person doesn't need help. They need to be locked up. And someone else says at a time.
It's like the comments were they were very sexually violent in nature.
Threatening comments, are they?
Yeah, well, like, you know, very sexual nature comments. And like, I did hang up the phone and didn't continue on. But I suppose the worry then was, like, he knew my name, he knew who I was. Like, it wasn't accidental. Like, so it was kind of, I don't know who this is. It was 2 days before I realized, you know, it was a common thread. And because I've had a similar, not necessarily this, but more with an individual before, a issue of harassment, I do have a direct contact with my local Garda station, spoke to the local guards. They were brilliant about it. And I suppose they gave me some reassurance of like, oh, look, this is across the board. And like, that's a terrible thing to say. Whereas like, oh, I was nearly relieved that, you know, I wasn't being personally targeted. So there was some level of, oh, it may not be a real threat. It might be just a disgruntled person, but that's not a way
No, like, that's not okay either. And I think our listeners will agree that, you know, local councillors, you are available to your constituents. It's not a 9-to-5 job. You listen to local concerns all the time. Outside of hours, you're always on, really. And your numbers are published, which we may need to look at, I guess. But there's absolutely no way that you should have to tolerate inappropriate, abusive, sexual, abusive, threatening, sexually explicit content on a call. There's just no way that you should have to tolerate that.
No, but I think that there needs to be a wider conversation, certainly over that. I have never thought of leaving politics as a woman because of any other reason other than the direct abuse, and specifically sexual abuse that you get. And that is not tolerated in any other industry. But there somehow seems to be an element that female politicians are not human, they don't have the same feelings, etc., and therefore they're fair game. Mm-hmm. And I think that narrative needs to change, because we won't have people going into politics. And we do need a cross demographic. So we do need young mothers, you know, single parent families, people. We need people representing all categories of society to have good representation.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And someone said here, at a time when we're trying to encourage more women into politics, this is outrageous that somebody would do this. It's terrifying. Stay with me, Rachel, because Nuala Killeen is the Social Democrats councillor for Leixlip on Kildare County Council. And she joins me on the line. Good afternoon to you, Nuala.
Good afternoon, Anna, and good afternoon, Mary and Rachel.
Nuala, thank you for joining us on this discussion. Have you received the call?
Yes, and also a number of my female councillors and the Social Democrats have as well. And we kind of assessed that they were going through the councillors on an A to Z basis. But it's actually a huge number of calls and a huge variety in the times of day, you know, very early in the morning to very late at night. And I just wanted to say to yourself and to the other councillors and to your listeners is that councillors are not just public representatives, they're parents, partners, neighbours, community volunteers. And the impact of the abuse doesn't stop when the phone call ends. The human being, like, you know, the female counsellors, they carry that home to their family. It lives in their head. It's targeted to intimidate. And nobody signs up to serve their community, so the kids or their partners have to worry when the phone rings continuously with abusive content, as has done over the last 10 days or so. And when female councillors of any party become targeted with personal, sexual and emotional abuse, we all as a society lose something, because the next person who's thinking about stepping up to serve their community may decide it's simply not worth the cost. But we do feel blessed now that we found a solidarity and everybody is targeted. It's almost like the impact is lessened, but we can't forget that this person has phoned everybody, wants them to feel awful, wants to traumatise them. I've had incredible party support from the Social Democrats and feel very blessed. We've also had the AILG, and we've also had great advice from An Garda Síochána. That's not to be forgotten. That support is there, available. Mm-hmm. And I think that before the female councillors realised it wasn't just them, It was absolutely terrifying. You know, if you're at home 1 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, you're not in work mode. Do you know what I mean? You're kind of getting ready, you know, whatever, making your coffee in the morning. And I just think that, like, that's designated to terrorize people at that time. And I really appreciate what you're doing by bringing prominence to it, because everybody in my community is horrified about this. I've had loads of calls about it, you know, and it's kind of like people feel empathy, they feel solidarity. The female cross-party councillors, we found solidarity with each other. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely shocking. And I wouldn't want to feel that women are not going to put themselves forward because they're terrified about being emotionally and getting emotional and, you know, it's targeted sexual abuse over the phone. Mm-hmm. And I just think that,
well,
the
Taoiseach himself said, you know, your actions are not consequence free following the threats that he received on himself and his family. And now we have solid examples of people behind bars as a result of that. And I think we need to see those consequences happening. Because, as you say, councillors and politicians are, you know, not 9-to-5, but they do. They are mothers. They are sisters. They are wives. They are, do you know what I mean? They have a family life outside of what they do. And that
they're
needs to be respected
people who
as well.
Have decided, they're normal people, sorry to interrupt you, they're normal people who have decided to serve their community. Do you know what I mean? And then been elected by their community. to represent them. And the last thing that they would expect is to be targeted by emotional abuse and sexual abuse. And it's totally disgusting. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, I would be afraid of this person getting some enjoyment out of all the attention it's given, but action is needed urgently to safeguard women. And we would all cross-party advocate for the safeguarding of women in our communities. But to be targeted like this at vulnerable times in our day, do you know, like really what you think is there's no good time to answer the phone. But actually, like we answer the phone day and night to people who are in crisis, who need our help. And we're
happy.
I am glad to hear
it's
a privilege to do so.
There is the support there from your party, but also from government, from the AILG and also on Garda Síochána, because there needs to be, and we do need to move this on and protect our female representatives. Thank you indeed for joining us, Councillor Mary Howard, Councillor Nuala Killeen and Councillor Rachel Batten. Thank you indeed for sharing that story with us, and no doubt there will be follow-up on that. Someone says, I received many silent calls from a private number years ago, knew whom was calling, called the Gardaí, and they gave me a history of calls sheet of paper to fill out following each call. They contacted all the mobile phone providers and traced it to the person I suspected. They called to her home, threatening prosecution with the evidence, and the calls abruptly ceased. Sick folk out there. And lots of other text messages in on that.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.